Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Come on, sing.
Rejoice. This is a day that we
oh God, a joyful noise, to make a joyful noise before him. Why? Because he has done great and mighty things. Somebody may say, why should I praise God when I'm going through such a difficult time in my life? Why should I praise God when the lights is about to be turned off? Why should I praise God when I don't have the money to pay my light bill? Why should I praise God when I'm 2 months behind in my mortgage? Why should I praise him? Well, there is many, many reasons why we should praise God in everything. We should give God praise and glory, knowing and trusting him, and knowing that God will not leave us, neither will he forsake us. There are many times in our life that the enemy will come to make us fret, to make us think that it is not what it seemed to be and what you like it to be. And even they'll try to make you feel that it is all over. But my thought to you today, before we get into this message, that it is not over until God says it's over, and that all things are possible to him that believe. If I would use as a topic on this day, I would use Elisha and the Shunammite. The Shunammite woman, is there anything too hard for God? And I want you to know today, ladies and gentlemen, that there is nothing too hard. It seems difficult. It seems sometimes like you're not going to make it. But you know what? When you can realize who's on your side, when you can realize the God that created you, the God that put the breath in your body, the God that woke you up on this morning, the God that have called the blood that to warm in your veins, the God that have given you eyesight and ears to hear. Thank you, Father, for all. We should thank God. We should thank our Heavenly Father for all that he has done and all he is going to do today and every day in our life. Let's get to the word. Let's get to the word. We're going to begin today speaking from 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. And we're going to begin at that 8th verse. And it came and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to the Shunammite, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he come to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned unto the chamber and lay there. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We praise you, God. We magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for the great, for the mighty things that you have done. Great and mighty things, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We truly thank you, Father, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And thy word that we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Thank you for the miraculous. Thank you for you being a miracle working God. Thank you, Father, for you being a God that is at hand and not a God that is afar off, that will not come and that will not move on our behalf. Thank you for moving on our behalf. Thank you for giving us light and giving it to us more abundant. Thank you for life today. Thank you for abundant life. And this we bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. This morning, we want to talk about Elisha and the Shunammite woman. And my question is to you on today, is there anything too hard for God? When we begin to look at the Shunammite woman, it let us know the heart of this woman, the heart of this man, that seeing the man of God passing continually by their home. And she knew that this was a man of God. Everybody that passed your house, everybody passed the location that you live in, is not a man or not a woman of God. But this man was a man of God. And the Shunammite woman knew that this was a man from God. So she talked it over with her husband. I'm giving you and paraphrasing and giving to you so that you can understand what the Word of God is saying. Yes, the Word of God is plain. I want to let you know what this woman, how she felt about the man of God and how she was a woman that did good. And I believe that God touched her heart so that she would be able to prepare the man of God and to meet the needs that he had in his life. She knew that he was about God's business. Everybody is not about God's business. But this woman, she seen that this man was about God's business, and she want to prepare a place for him to be in comfort. And she put those things in the place in his room that he would be comfortable and that he would have the necessities of life, and that he would be able to rest when he comes by her home. So when we look at the Shunammite woman, we see that the Word of God tells us in that 12th verse, and when the man of God, Elisha, had talked to Gehazi was his servant. And we see in that 12th verse, let's read it. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful. Listen what the man of God is saying to Gehazi to speak to the woman of God. Because what he was saying to the woman of God was a true fact that she had been careful for them. She took care of the prophet. She took care of the man of God, Elisha, and his servant, Gehazi. So when we look at the Word of God, he said, behold, thou hast been careful for us and all this care. What is to be done for thee? Will thou be spoken to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said unto them, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she has no child, and her husband is, well, the man of God was trying to repay her, was trying to do something kind for her, because she has shown them kindness. Don't tell me that when one is kind to another, and to others, that there is not a blessing from God that will come upon that those individuals. So he didn't take it lightly. He didn't take it for granted what this woman, this Shunammite woman, and her husband had done for them. So he wanted to know, what is it that we can do for you? Do you want us to speak to the king or to the captain of the host? And she replied that, I dwell upon my own people. She didn't need all for him to speak to the king or speak to the captain. That wasn't what made her happy. That wasn't her focus, that she be spoken well of before the king. I realize now that there are many people would have been saying, oh, yes, yes, speak kindly, or yes, speak to the king on my behalf. Speak to the captain on my behalf. But no, this was not her mindset. This is not something that she wanted. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she has no son. So he noticed that she didn't have a child. It was just she, and it was just her husband. And Gehazi made mention in the word that her husband is old. In other words, she apparently had to be younger than her husband. And he noticed that they didn't have any children. So therefore, in that 15th verse, I want you to follow me. And it said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And it said, after this season, according to this time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, in other words, no, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. Oh, I believe. Can you not understand that I believe that this was a desire? I am a desire from this woman. Do you not understand the need and the desire for her to have a child, but yet she knew that her husband was old. And maybe she just put it aside. And maybe she didn't really think about it like you may have expected her to think about it. But you know what? God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. And when the man of God told her this, she was saying, no, nay, my Lord. That man of God, she's still acknowledging him as the man of God. She's saying, don't lie to me. Do not lie to me unto thy handmaid. And the woman in that 17th verse, the woman conceived, just like the prophet said. She not only conceived, but she brought forth a son at that season, as the man of God spoke. Can you not understand that there is nothing too hard for God? It could have been wherein that the Shunammite woman was too old. It looks like she was too old. But it so happened that her husband was the one that was old. And so, therefore, when the man of God spoke the word of God in faith, that's what I'm talking about. That it is not too hard or nothing too difficult for God to do, even when it looks like it is too hard, when it looks like it's too difficult, when it looks like it's not going to be done, yet you got to know that with God, all things are possible. When the man of God spoke those words, what happened? She conceived. She brought forth a child. And not only that, he told her that she was going to bring forth a son. And we see that the word of God is so true. in that 15th verse, he said, call her. And when it called her, she stood in the door. And he said about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace, in case you missed that, thou shalt embrace, thou shalt hold, thou shalt bear, thou shalt have a child. And that child was going to be a son. And that's when she began to tell the prophet, the man of God, not to lie unto his handmaid. I know that it had to be exciting. I knew, as I began to read that, you just like, you know, and you can imagine in your mind the joy on the inside and the hope on the inside. When maybe that hope was no longer there because she knew that her husband was old. And she knew that there was a possibility that, hey, that she wasn't going to have any kids. She wouldn't have any children. But don't you fool yourself. Again, that there is nothing too hard for God. The enemy tried to make you feel that it is too hard for God. But the word of God tells us that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, and that there is nothing too hard for God. So here, the woman, she conceived. She brought forth a son. But then the word of God, it transitions, it goes to a period of time when the child had gotten older. The word of God said when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And it said to his father, my head, my head. And he said unto the lad, carry him to his mother. You know, it's nothing like a mother. You know, I realize that there are many fathers. There are fathers that are raising their children. There are fathers that are great. There are fathers, but they just like mothers unto their children or their child because there's not a mother in the home. But usually when you have a mother, even the father, recognize that nurturing from that mother was so much surpasses the nurturing that he could give this child. So he told the lad to take the boy, to take the young man to his mother. And the word of God tell us, and he said to his father, my head, my head. That's when he began to have pains, having symptoms in his head. And they took him to his mother. And when he had taken him, the word of God say, and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees to noon and then died. He was young enough for this young man, this child, this son, to be able to sit on the knees of his mother. And the word of God tell us that he sat on his knees until noon, and then the boy died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. She didn't lay it on her bed. She didn't lay him on the bed that she slept on and her husband slept on each night, but she laid the child on the bed of the prophet, the man of God, the man that had spoken into her life, the man that said that she was going to conceive, the man that told her that she was going to have a son. She laid this boy on the prophet's bed, the man of God, and she shut the door. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. I need to, in other words, I need to get to the man of God. And I need to go quickly. So send the young men. She didn't call for the old men now. She called for the young men. But somebody would got some speed and somebody to be able to go quickly. Somebody going to be able to move because, hey, she was in a hurry. She knew that her son had just died. She knew that there was a, that she needed, that was a must that she get to the man of God. And in that 23rd verse, it says, and when he said, therefore will I go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Because the father was thinking, you know, why are you going to see the man of God today? It's not the new moon. It's not the Sabbath. But she's saying that it shall be well. I can see that faith. You don't know why I'm going, but the reason I'm going, it shall be well. She didn't elaborate with him. She didn't tell him that, hey, our son is dead. I laid him on the prophet's bed. The breath is out of his body. But I'm going because I need to find the man of God. And then she settled and asked and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slight not thy writing for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And he answered, and she answered, it is well. Look at the faith of this woman. She didn't even tell her husband. She didn't tell Gehazi, the man of God that was there for the man of God, the servant of God that God had with the man of God. She didn't tell him. She didn't tell him. All she wanted to do is to get to the man of God. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. Oh, that's when I can let it go. That's when I can express. That's when I can tell him what's going on. Come on. That's when I can let go. So she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And you know what? You have to look at people's action and why they do it, because he really didn't have any compassion. You know, he forgot about her being, she was, because the word of God tells us that she was a great woman of God. It tells us, it describes her as being great. And then it let us know why she was great. She was great because of her compassion. She was great because of the fact that she was able to see the need of the man of God. She wanted to be able to not to just talk about it and say the man of God needs some place to stay, or somebody need to prepare a place for the man of God to be able to stay when he comes this way. But no, she decided, she and her husband, that they were going to prepare a place for the man of God. But yet Gehazi, somehow he forgot the goodness of this woman. Can you not know? Do you not think about sometimes the things that God have allowed you to do in his name? The things that sometimes people forget, and sometimes they treat you or mistreat you in some way that is unlike God. He was ready to thrust her away, to get her away from the prophet of God, the man of God. But the word let us know, as the man of God said, let alone. Let her alone, for her soul is vexed
within her, and the Lord has hid it from me and has not told me. Then she said, did I desire? Then she began to talk to the prophet of God, because this thing was on her heart. These things that were she was dealing with. And she said to the man of God, she said, did I desire a son of the Lord? In other words, I didn't ask you for a son of God, but God knew that was one of the desires that she wanted, even if she didn't vocalize it. He knew that that was a desire of this woman's heart, and he used a man of God to cause that to come forth. She said, did I not say, do not deceive me? And she did say that. But the man of God was not trying to deceive her. He wasn't trying to tell her a lie about the birth of that child and the conception, the time that she was going to conceive that child, and that he was going to be a son. The man of God was a man of God. He spoke like a man of God. Everybody is not a man of God. Everybody is not a woman of God. Everybody don't speak like a woman of God or a man of God. So in her, the desire to understand and a desire for him to answer the questions that she had before him. She said, do not deceive me. Did not say, do not deceive me. Then he said to Gehazi, girdle up thy loins and take thy staff in thy hand. Go thy way, and if thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. In other words, go in a hurry. And this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do after you're there. I want you to lay my staff on the face of this child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went away to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. You know what I think about sometimes with the hardness of his heart, with the way that he treated the woman, the way that he tried to thrust her away. Was there something going on? I'm just conversating with you. This is not what the Word of God said. This is what I'm conversating. This is sometimes you read things and you ask yourself these questions and you see what the lifestyle of the decisions that people make. And he made a decision that I know he was trying to protect the woman of God, but yet he should have known the heart of this woman, that she wouldn't have been just coming there just to be coming. And he could not see that. But the man of God identified her. And to know that something was going on there that God had hidden from him. So when he took the staff, Elisha's staff, as Elijah had requested him to do, and put it upon the child's face, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Although the staff belonged to Elijah, it wasn't happened. Nothing happened. Do you not know sometimes, when we are out of the will of God, when we do things and we're not in the will of God, things are not going to happen because of the fact that we're out of the will of God and we don't have the heart of God. Sometimes we in the Word and then we're out of the Word. We're in the Word and when we're in the Word, when we have a heart of God and we have a mind of God, then we can operate in things that are God. And miracles happen, and things happen, and situations change in our life. Why? Because we believe God. But when we're out of the will of God, it didn't happen for Gehazi, because I don't believe that this man was, because of the action, because of his things that he did, and how he responded to this woman, that it, no matter what, by having a man of God's staff, it didn't cause this child to be wakened. He did what the prophet said, but yet the child was not awakened. Then Elijah came into the house. Behold, the child was dead and lay upon the bed. The man of God came unto the house. The child lay upon the bed. And the word of God said, he went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them and twain and prayed unto the Lord. Let's read that 33rd verse, because I believe there's something there. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them, in other words, the two of them, and prayed unto the Lord. He didn't need any unbelief. He didn't need any doubt. He didn't need that. But he, as a man of God, he knew that it was a serious business. He knew that this child was dead. And he knew that the same God that caused this child to be conceived in the womb of this woman, the same child, the seed that was passed from the man to this woman, that word that was spoken from the prophet of God that was able to bring forth exactly the timing and the gender of this child. He knew that that same God was the same yesterday, today, and he would be forever. He knew that this was the God that did not change and that there was nothing too hard for God. So it didn't matter what happened prior to that, but he was standing on the word of God. I ask you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, are you standing on the word of God? The word of God says all things are possible to him that believes. So the man of God, he shut the door. He shut the door. It wasn't anybody in that room, but he and God. And he prayed unto God. He prayed unto him. And the word of God says in that fourth verse of 2 Kings, that fourth chapter, and he went up and laid upon the child. He laid upon this child. And he put his mouth upon his mouth. I mean a man of faith, a man of power, a man of the anointing. And I just believe that he was under the duress. He was under the unction. He was led by the Spirit of God what to do. So he laid upon the child, and he put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Come on. I mean, the woman of God, the mother, he had to even put her out and the and his servant, because this is a child. This is something that he knew that it was him and God, and that he knew that there wasn't any room for doubt or any room for unbelief. So he did all of that. Somebody could have said, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you putting your eyes? You're laying on this child. Why do you got your mouth to his mouth? And why do you have your eyes to his eyes? And why do you have your hands to this child's hand? And why are you scratching your hand upon him? Why are you stretching yourself upon this child? But when he did this, I'm talking about a man of God. I'm not talking about a fly by night. I'm not talking about somebody that proclaimed to be a man of God, or somebody proclaimed to be a woman of God and is not. Somebody that proclaimed to be a believer and is not. But I'm talking about a man of God that was believing God to move on behalf of this child. And when he did this, the Word of God tells us that the flesh of the child waxed warm. And he turned and he walked in the house to and fro. Could you understand what I'm saying? Have you ever been in that situation that you're going up and down your home, your house, you may be going from room to room, and you're praying and you're interceding for God to move in whatever situation that it may be? I can understand why he did this. The Word of God said he was walking to and fro. He went up and he stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times. The child sneezed. Now, the child was dead, but the child sneezed 7 times. And then the child opened his eyes. I told you, and I say to you this morning, I ask you this question: is there anything too hard for God? And I say to you today that there is nothing too hard for God. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when he was come unto her, unto him, he said, take up thy son. And she went in, fell at his feet, bowed herself unto the ground, and took up her son and went out. I believe God. I believe God. All things are possible to him that believes. And, you know, sometimes we don't understand why God allows things to happen, but yet we have to acknowledge that he is God. There are so many miracles in the Word of God. There are so many things that have happened in the Word of God. But I believe that even if God did not raise that child up, does it change? Does that make him not being God? Does it make him not having all power in his hand? Does it make him to be less than God? I say to you this morning that no, it does. We have to stand on the Word of God. We have to believe God. We have to know that all things is possible if we can only believe God. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, truly we thank you and we praise you, God, for the message that you have given us today. Elijah and the Shunammite woman, is there anything too hard for God? And Father, I thank you today that once again for showing us, relating to us, building our faith, making us strong, making us to have confidence in you. And showing us, God, that you are God and that you are God all by yourself. And that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, God, that you will move on behalf of every woman, every man, every girl, every boy. And that you will touch them, that you will give them that ever-increasing faith. And God, even as you allow us to bring the word on today from 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, the 8th, beginning at that 8th verse, I pray even now, God, that you would touch men and women everywhere, that you would give them that ever-increasing faith. Now, Lord, if there is some that is not saved, if they do not know you as Lord and Savior, if they do not know you as the Prince of Peace and the Alpha and Omega, I pray, God, that you would touch them. And, God, that you would give them what they need today. And, God, that you will give them light through the word. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, that they'll be able to stand on your word. And God, that their soul will be saved, their lives will be changed. But your word say, ask and it shall be given. You said to seek and you shall find. You said to knock and the door shall be opened. You said, God, if we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, say to the mountain, be thou moved. God, you said that it shall be moved. So, Lord, we just thank you today. And, God, we have confidence in you. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for touching us right now, for giving us life through your word. And for this, we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, pastor and founder of Word of Faith Praise and Worship Center. Please join us on next Wednesday at this very same time as we preach the unadulterated, teach the uncompromising Word of God. May God bless and keep you. May his face continually to shine upon you is our prayer.